going to speak from, I want to speak from the Bible in this session, but I want to relate it to what I shared with last time. Look, all of us want to hear from God. All of us would love to hear words from God. I still want to hear words from God that sink so deeply like it sank in that night. I have had very rare experiences like that, but I do believe that as I've tried to quieten my heart and as I've tried to be quiet in the dark places, God seems to be able to remind me of something. And one of the reasons I still go to church, one of the reasons I still go and read my Bible as often as I can, is not because I'm trying to please God, but because there I hear the words of God that I will need in the future. A lot of what I read in the Bible may not be applicable to me as I read it. And I'm talking now, I grew up in the church, so I mean, most of you guys know a lot of the scripture already. Those words may not mean anything to you right now, but it's kind of like creating a database. You know what a database is? Yeah, a database is full of information. And you never know when the Holy Spirit says, this is how I'm going to select this verse for you here. And we don't know when it is, and that's how God speaks to me. He doesn't speak to me through something just saying, go to Kansas, go to Hyderabad. He doesn't say those kind of things to me. He hasn't said it to me. I'm not saying he can't. He just hasn't said it to me. The way God tells me something is through something that I heard in church or read in the Bible. I'm not saying what somebody said. Sometimes somebody said could also speak to me. But a lot of times it's just a verse. It's a song. And God says, this one is for you. Right here, right now. That is why I go to church, is to hear that. To get some more things into my database. And I don't know when God will pull it out and put it to me. So as I read the Bible, I look for things that either God could speak to me in the moment, or He could speak to me a few years down the road. There have been numerous times when suddenly I get an idea of something, God telling me something that from a verse that I knew many, many years ago. So don't feel like God can't speak to you. Looking at the kind of Bible knowledge you guys have, I'm pretty sure you guys have a few verses that you can probably quote to me. Don't think that God can't speak to you with just those verses. And He'll speak to you with those verses, but He wants you to also increase the amount of verses you read, because He can speak to you more through those other verses. And He can speak to you about how to deal with your career, how to deal with college life through verses. He can. How to deal with, look, guys start getting interested in girls when they're about 13 or 14. And girls, I don't know when that happens for you, whenever that happens. I was 13 or 14 when I started to get interested in girls, and I was 33 years old when I got married. That's a long time. Don't wait till as you're old as I am to get married. Get married sooner if you can. But it's a long time to not get married. I'm speaking mostly to the guys here, for you to deal with girls and know how to interact with them, to be friendly with them, to be able to talk to them, but still to feel like, listen, I'm upsetting God every time I kind of look at a girl. There has to be some way in which I can know what is the right way to interact with women. Right? I'm talking mostly to the girls, to the guys. If you as a guy don't struggle with girls, you need to jump up and shout, because you are in very rare company. Most guys are going to deal with like liking girls and looking at girls and knowing what's the right way to interact with them. For 20 years I've had to deal with it until I got married. Now I don't have to. I have to still worry about it with other girls, but now I have a girl that I can talk to and be intimate with. But until then, the Christian path that Jesus has taught me is saying, watch it. Be careful. You aren't supposed to go down that path or get intimate with a girl until then. And again, I'm not saying girls don't have to struggle with that. You may struggle with it with a guy too. You may meet a really cool guy that you want to be intimate with, you want to be close with. And God says, this is the way I made you. But it doesn't mean that it's easy, and doesn't mean that I don't have my own issues about it. But God uses His Word to give me strength. He didn't take away the darkness in the middle of the night, in the middle of the valley. He didn't take me out of a helicopter saying, okay, I'm coming. You're scared. I'll come in a helicopter. Let's airlift you out of there. No, He didn't. He said, I'm going to give you a word for you to deal with the darkness. And that's how it is often with God. He doesn't say, I'm going to take you out of the problem. I'm going to just get you out of it so that you don't even have to worry about ever sinning and all of that. He says, I'm going to give you a word to sustain you. I'm going to give you my word to sustain you. And that is what I wanted to draw out of a very simple story that we know about Samuel. Samuel was a man who lived in the Old Testament. And if you don't know the story, Samuel was born because his mother couldn't have children for a long time. And then she prayed and prayed and prayed. And the priest, who was Eli at that time, she was praying in the temple. Eli said, listen, God's going to hear your prayer. And Hannah, who's his mother, Samuel's mother, had a child. And Hannah said, I'm dedicating this boy to you. And so Samuel was given over to the temple and lived in the temple. And he could have been your age. I'm not sure I know how old this guy was, but he could have been your age. He was a boy. He was not yet a man. So he was definitely not 18, 19. He was right around, could have been right around there. And imagine if you had to have been taken away from your mom and dad and said, you're going to go and have to stay there in the middle of the church. Okay, it's cool when you're 4 or 5 or 6. Everything's nice. But then you go to be 13, 14, and you're like, I got other things I could have been doing. And you look at all of your friends around, and they're all in the middle of the school life, doing their own things, back in the day, doing their own things. And you, your mom and dad kind of said, no, you got to go to church. And you, not only do you have to go to church on Sunday, like you guys have to do, you have to live in church. And all you do is take care of the church. You polish all the altar things. You have to clean up everything. That's all you do because you are dedicated to the Lord. And that's how Samuel could have felt. Samuel may have felt. I don't know. I'm sure it wasn't easy to always serve God in the temple as a 13, 14 year old. But he did. And it says the boy stayed and served God in 1 Samuel chapter 2. That he served God in the company of Eli the priest. He didn't know God. Look, he didn't know God. He hadn't talked to God. And you've got this boy on the one hand who's been given away from by his parents without his choice. He didn't go to the temple and say, I want to serve God. His mother said, you are going to serve God. You are going to go to church and there's no questions asked. You have to do it. So here he is in church. And at the same time, you've got two sons of the priest, Eli's two sons. And it says in verse 12, Eli's own sons were a bad lot. They didn't know God and could not have cared less about the customs of the priest. So here you've got two examples. Here you've got a son who's trying to do the best he can, and you've got Samuel on the one hand, who's trying to do the best he can, and you've got these two sons who couldn't care less about the people. And they were just sinning and robbing people of money. And it tells me what all they were doing. Look at this verse. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 22. Eli was very old. He was getting reports on how his sons were ripping off the people and sleeping with the women who helped out of the sanctuary. These were the people who grew up in the church. These were the people who were the sons of the holy priest. Somebody like me, I mean, look at me. I mean, I'm somebody who's kind of like the elder son. We've grown up in the church, but look what's happened. Ripping off the people, that means stealing from all the people lots of money, and just sleeping around with a lot of the women. Sexually immoral. And stealing people from money. Stealing people from this. And this is what Eli's rebuke to them is. And look, there are two sides. The reason why I'm bringing this up, the reason kind of why I'm telling the story is, when we're dealing with sin, there are two components to it. I feel. There's the component of, God, I am confused. I don't know what's going on. There are so many messages hitting me. There are so many things that confuse me. And I'm just, honestly, I don't know what to do. I'm torn between what I hear in church and what I want to do. And I understand that. I really do. I've lived in it and I still live through it. There are a lot of things that I don't understand about God. There is that torture in terms of saying, okay, how do I choose what's the right thing to do? What's the right approach? There's always going to be that doubt. However, with all of that, and while I might say I understand that it could be difficult, part of what we have to understand also is that we're dealing with God, not with us. My problem is not, I have to know how to deal with you. My problem is not, I have to deal with you. My problem is, I have to deal with God. And it's when I'm dealing with God that there's also the concept, whether I like it or not, that I am a created being and He's creator. I can't get out of it. There's just no two ways about it, because I am somebody He created and He's the creator. And He's bigger than I am. And so in certain ways, He sets the rules and I don't have a choice about it. You can find that out now, or you can find that out when you're 30, or you can find that out when you're 90, or you can find that out when you die. It's up to you. You'll find out that in some things in life, as you've probably also understood, there are rules and there's nothing you can change it. Like the rule of gravity. But even in this world, there are all kinds of rules, because that's the way it works. And that's the way God made it. The sooner I understand that I am a created being, that I've got a God who's out there, I must also understand with that, if you accept that there is a God, then you must also understand that God has an opinion about things. And look at what Eli says. Oh, my sons, this is not right. These are terrible reports I'm getting, stories spreading right and left among God's people. If you sin against another person, there's help. There's help you can do if you sin against somebody else. You can give the money back. If you stole money from somebody else, you can give the money back. If you kind of said something bad about somebody else or beat up somebody, you can go and apologize or allow them to beat you back up. I mean, there are different ways you can do that if you hurt somebody else. But here was what Eli was saying. If you sin against God, who is around to help? And I bolded that at the end of 1 Samuel 2 because I wanted you to understand, look, there's going to come a time when you don't have to come to church anymore. There's going to come a point in time when your parents won't be able to force you. Maybe they can't even force you now, but they may not be able to tell you you have to go to church. You may be making money that you'll be able to leave the home and you'll be able to do your own thing. And so you don't have to come and hang out with all these other people, some of whom you may think are backbiters, some of whom you think are hypocrites, some of whom you may think are not even Christians. You don't have to come. You don't have to hang out against them, so you don't even have to sin against them. And you may feel like it's a big burden to hang out with them. Fine, you can do that. My only question for you is, there's no problem for that. You can go and find out other people who are not backbiters, who are not mean to you, who are not always trying to be hypocrites. I agree with you. They're much easier to hang out with. But do address this question here. If you sin against God, who is around to help? And that, I can't help you. The elders can't help you. Nobody on this earth can help you. It is between you and God. And when you're sinning, when you're doing something that you know to be wrong, it's honestly it matters very little what other people say about it. Other people in the church, other people have comments about it, other people have their opinions about it. I know they make a big deal out of it, and I know they probably make your life difficult if you're ratted out. If somebody comes and tells you, oh, did you know that they were doing this or doing this? They have those opinions about it. And sometimes they're right, especially if they're following God. They are right about kind of calling you to task about it. But much more important than that, even if you didn't listen to them, and there could come a day when you didn't have to come to this church, you can go and sit it by yourself. For example, when I went to America when I was 17, nobody could tell me I had to go to church. I didn't have to go to church, and sometimes I didn't go to church because I was rebelling against God. Because also I didn't understand this concept, you're still sinning against God. Yeah, you don't have these people telling you you're sinning. That's fine. I've gotten rid of that. I have all my friends telling me I'm doing okay. But there's still God you've got to deal with. There's still the answer of God in you that you have to deal with. And that was Eli's appeal to these sinful sons of his. He was saying, look, you can sin against other people, fine. We can repay them. You stole them this money from them, we can go and repay them. You broke this window of theirs and you ran away, fine, we can go and do that. But when you sin against God, who's going to help you? Even the priest of his time who talked to God couldn't help them. His own father, their own father couldn't help him. Because these people were sinning against God and didn't care. And look, in our own lives, this is a message not just for teens. This is a message for me. This is a message for everybody. When we sin, the way we will get a proper response to sin is when we realize we're not sinning really so much against the people and they say that what we did was wrong. We have to ask ourselves, am I doing this and can I answer to God about it? And when I have to answer, can I answer to God about it? There's only one way to find out what God thinks about it, is by reading His Word. So if something you do is something that somebody around you as a Christian tells you you shouldn't do, this is what I did when I was your age. I went to somebody I trusted who wouldn't judge me, who wouldn't criticize me, who was willing to listen to me. I'm not saying that they would agree with me. I knew they probably wouldn't agree with me, but who wouldn't judge me and wouldn't be a hypocrite and criticize me. I went to such a person and I said, I don't think it's wrong to do this. You tell me, let's talk. Why is it wrong to do this? But don't tell this to anybody else and don't criticize me. I'm an honest person trying not to sin against God. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I'm not trying to sin against God. Can you talk to me? Why is this a sin? And you may talk with them once and they may not answer the question once. Say, it's been an hour and we've argued and we're not done. Fine, I'm going to go back home, but can we meet again next week and let's continue the conversation? And I can't tell you the number of conversations I had, not with the elders, with people who were older than me though, people who I knew were trying to be Christian, and people I respected because they were not just trying to beat me up and tell me what's wrong with me or whatever. But they were trying to be a Christian, and I went to them and I said, I have a problem because the church seems to be telling me I can't do this, but I think it's okay. What do we do? What do I do? Because I honestly think it's okay. Show me why it's not okay. Give me something from your understanding of God's word. And if you don't, then maybe I should be able to do it. And the people who are in their 20s and in their 30s need to be working on their stuff so that they can answer those questions to you. Look, if any of you came to me and asked me, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? I hope I have enough maturity now to say, I'm not going to criticize you for two reasons. Biggest reason is, I had those same questions probably when I was your age. I dealt with those same issues when I was your age. And this is where I've stood on it. And you may be surprised to find out that I don't think that way. You might think all Christians think that way. Maybe I don't think that way. Maybe I have a slightly different opinion. But you would never have found that out if you had not come and talked to me. And try to find out, what does God think about it? So look, When you're dealing with the struggles of your age, and a lot of that has got to do with what your friends are doing and what you read on the internet that you can do and what you read what other people are doing in other countries, all of those things, and you say, why can't I do it? And especially if you tend to find that people in the church or somebody says you shouldn't be doing it. I'm not saying you're right and the church is wrong. Of course I'm not saying that. I'm just saying be okay with that doubt and talk to somebody who's willing to not judge you and is willing to not quickly correct you and is willing to talk with you. The wise Christians in CFC are the people who don't try to quickly come to a conclusion for you, who are willing to talk with you, who are willing to say, let's talk about it. Let's discuss this. Let's look at this verse. You're not convinced? Okay, let's look at this verse too. And they talk with you because they value you. They don't just dismiss you. Chances are, if they dismiss you, it's because they haven't thought about the issue themselves. Oh, they just didn't ever deal with that issue. Talk to people, young people. When I was your age, the one of the things that was so helpful to me was that there were people older than me who I could talk to. And there weren't a lot of people. They're often, in most churches, they're not a lot of people, because a lot of people are still dealing with their own stuff and are not mature enough to accept you guys. But there are a few in every church. And I'd say seek them out and seek to talk to them. If you don't talk to them, then you have just you and God. And you might think God is telling you it's okay, but you may find out that God isn't okay about it. That's the danger of just you and God dealing with things when you're this age. Even me, even elders who are 60s and 70s need to talk to other godly people to find out what God is about. How much more you? So be very careful of dealing just between you and God, because you could be in for a surprise that God, you thought God was okay with it, doing this, doing that, and you may find out God actually wasn't okay with it. So talk to somebody who you think knows God, not somebody who's a Christian. You may not be an elder, that's okay. Talk to somebody who you think knows God, which means that he's following God. And you're like, you know, I can respect you. You don't feel like you have to do all these other things, but I know you love God, so let me talk to you. It's a pretty serious thing. I don't want to minimize what is at stake when you sin, because you sin against God. And if a few of you people think that you're not sure if you're saved or you're going to go to hell, there's hope, but it's not a trivial thing. It's not a trivial thing to go to hell. And we're honest, but I don't know if it's something that we should be okay with. And the church is a place where we should find help for that. And Christians should be people. I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to everybody else. The Christians should be people who are willing to help people who think they're going to go to hell. That's what I should be for you. And I'm not in your lives week in and week out, but that's what my role should be to people your age. If you think you're not saved, if you think you're not on the path towards God, I should be there to help you. And there are people like that here in CFC who won't judge you. But it has to be a two-way street. You have to be willing to talk to them too. If you leave yourself with your own opinions and your own God and you just go to the internet and you think, I'll just do whatever I feel like it's right, you're in trouble. You really are. And look, you didn't know what fear was, But I knew what fear was back when I was 16, but I also knew another level of fear when September 11th hit in America. And I lived in a big city, and I didn't know when San Francisco would be next. In fact, soon after September 11th, I think later that year, they defused a bomb on a bridge that I travel often on. They defused a bomb. That bomb could have gone off while I was on it. And right next to Mumbai is Bangalore, which is full of foreigners. And they're attacking the foreigners. We don't know when we're next. There's a person who said, we live... This is maybe a deep sentence for some of you, but I'll explain it too. We live as if life is certain and death is uncertain. When in reality, life is uncertain and death is certain. Did you get it? We live as if we're going to live for quite a while. And death, yeah, could happen to us. But the reality is, we're all going to die. And whether you live tomorrow, I really don't know. It's possible. Whether I live to see tomorrow, it's possible. We live as if we're going to live for quite a while. And that is why we're okay thinking sin is okay. That's why we're okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to go to hell. Big deal. It's a big deal. It should be a big deal. And I'm not saying it all of a sudden becomes easier, but it should become a big deal. Because you're going to hang out with God. It's not me saying you're a bad person. It's not me saying you're not doing it right. It's God and you, really. That's what I'm trying to appeal to you here. It's God and you. So that's why I'm saying you have to talk to God. And you have to have God speak to you. He probably doesn't speak to you through your non-Christian friends. He speaks through His Word, and He speaks through Christians who know and love Jesus. Not who act like Christians, not who come to church every Sunday, but people who love Jesus. I know I love Jesus. I know there are people at CFC who love Jesus. I don't think everybody at CFC loves Jesus. Probably not. But I know a few. Those are the people who maybe you should talk to. Now we know the story, what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel was ministering. God calls him. Look, remember, middle of the night, like me, in the middle of darkness. He's sleeping. He's in the middle of the night, or maybe just about to fall asleep. And God calls him. Says, Samuel. And imagine, just put your name there. Calls. Hey. Hey. And you go up and you say, hey, what happened? What happened? And in this case, Samuel got up and thought Eli was calling. And he says, go back to bed. But I want to point out this one little point in verse 7. Look, we have this picture of Samuel being this holy person. We have this picture of Samuel being this really good guy who's doing everything right. I'm not sure that was true about him. Because it tells me in this verse, in verse 7, it says, this all happened before Samuel knew God for himself. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally. That means Samuel didn't know who this God was. And many of us could be in that situation. If you were like me when you were my age, when I was your age, I don't know God personally. I didn't have any revelation. I heard all the verses. I knew all the theology. But it was before I knew God for myself. And it's at that time, like I said, when it's dark outside, when you're rebelling against God, when you're kind of doing your own thing, you claim to be a Christian, so you're coming to church every Sunday, you're polishing the utensils like Samuel, and God calls you by name. I can't underline that point enough. You have to know that even in the midst of the tough things that you may be going through and all the doubts you might have, God does call you by name. And He says, your name, Samuel, Sandeep, I got something to tell you. And Eli was a wise man, and he said, listen, next time God calls, this is what you say. God, speak to me. I'm going to listen. One of the deals I told you when we got in was, let's be willing to listen. And we had a youth camp for the people in their 20s and 30s, and we talked a lot about us being willing to listen to people older than us and people younger than us. And it's the same with you guys. They need to hear that they need to be willing to listen to you. And you also need to hear that. You need to be willing to listen. They've got wisdom. They've known God for longer. The elders definitely do. The people who love Jesus, they love Him. You can learn something from Him. But we have to have the attitude of, God, speak. I am willing to listen. If you tell me to turn off that kind of music, I'll turn it off. If you tell me that that way I'm talking and looking at those girls is questionable, I'll stop doing it. And if the way I'm always absorbed with myself and talking to these boys and looking at these boys and allowing these boys to do all this, I'll listen. Because I'm willing to let you speak to me. At the times when it's dark, in the middle of the night, there's only one thing God's asking for you, that you'll be willing to let God speak to you. When I was in that valley in between the two mountains, I finally got to a point where I was willing to listen. And I asked God, speak to me. And He spoke. But I was willing to listen. And some of us may not be willing to listen. God will not speak to you. I'm sorry to have to break the news to you. If you wonder why God is not real to you, it's not God's fault. Trust me, it's not God's fault. You can live your whole life and go to heaven and you'll find out it wasn't God's fault. It's very likely, if not definitely true, but everyone sitting here, if you do not hear from God, it is because you're not willing to listen. Which means you want your... You will not give up this. You will not give up that. God, you can tell me anything, but don't tell me that. God, you can tell me anything, but don't ever tell me that. When I come to Him with that attitude, God says, I can't speak to you. I'm your servant, ready to listen. And I think that that's the first attitude towards hearing from God Himself, not hearing nice theology, not hearing you're going to go to heaven. The first step is saying, God, it's tough. It's not easy. I don't understand it. But I'm going to go to that brother, or I'm going to go to your word. Many times the word can be difficult for you to read and understand. Go to a brother you respect. Go to a sister you respect and say, I am willing to listen. And with a mature brother, you can't even talk about it. And you can take months talking about it. But be willing to listen. And if that is a person, you know who are the people who are loving God? Are the people who are also willing to listen. And they are most willing to listen to God, but they're also willing to listen to you. They don't cast you off as being a sinner or as being somebody who's going to go to hell or somebody who's a hypocrite. They're going to listen to you. And they're going to try and understand rather than try and fix you. They're going to try and understand you first. So you've got two choices. It's dark out. It was dark outside for Eli's two sons, and it was dark outside for Samuel. But Eli's sons never had a concept of God. Eli's sons never understood that they had a God that they had to answer to. But Samuel understood that there was a God, even when it was dark outside, even before he even knew God himself. But he was willing to tell God, God, you speak. I am ready to listen. I'm finally ready. I've been holding on to this, and this, but I'm finally ready to listen. Because how's my life going? It's going okay. But something's missing. I don't know the results just yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that answer is the majority of people's answer here. Is, it's going okay, life. Life's not bad. Life's not perfect. Life's not really bad. But there's something missing. You know, people who love Jesus won't answer it that way. People who are willing to listen to God and who are saying, God, I had all these things before, but I'm giving it all up. And I'm saying, I'm ready to listen now. Don't feel that way about life. They feel that life is going really well for them. And they don't say that in an arrogant way, because they know that they are reconciled with their God. And you can't beat that kind of peace. No girlfriend can give you that peace. No boyfriend can give you that peace. No corporate job can give you that peace. No wife can give you that peace. I know it. I've got a good corporate job. I've had a good corporate job for many years. I've traveled all over the world. It doesn't give you it. Believe me. I'm not just saying that. I know it. There's a peace that you get when you say, God, I'm ready to listen. And I started that when I was 15 or 16. And I started that in two ways. One, when I was up there in the mountains, in the valley between the mountains. And the other way I did it is because I found and I had a couple of people who were in their 20s and their 30s that I said, I can talk to them. Don't think you can make this journey on your own. You're in for trouble. I know people who have lost millions of dollars and lost all their savings in rupees because they thought they could make it on their own. I've known people who've gone off the deep end and gone into all kinds of trouble with gangsters and all kind of stuff because they thought they could make it on their own. I've known people who've gotten all kinds of diseases because they did things they should never have done. And you think you're invincible, but you're not. You think that life is certain and death is uncertain, but it's not. I spent 2 years, listen to me carefully, I spent 2 years volunteering every week at an AIDS clinic. These are people who are dying of AIDS. Look, none of them thought they were going to die of AIDS. They thought, I'm not going to be able to do it. All of these people were people dying of AIDS. And they were immoral. They were, thought they could do whatever they want, and they thought they were bigger than that. They thought that life is certain, they can have a good time, and death is uncertain. And I spent week after week with them. And I can't tell you the number of things I had to do for them and how pitiful their life had become. And all of them will tell you they thought they could do it on their own, and they thought, it won't hit me. Yeah, that's all people scaring me. I know people who've committed suicide. I know all kinds of things that happen because they think they can make it on their own. And I know people who've spent so much money and are in so much debt because they think they can handle these credit cards. And you may be too young to handle those credit cards, but there will come a time when you can, and be careful. And I know people who've had all these chat sessions talking to different people, women who've been kind of taken in by some guy saying something and been ruined and killed even at times. These things are happening. So to act like these things don't happen, look, there are so many ways. You guys know the power of the internet. You know how you can make an ugly face look like a pretty face. Photoshop allows you to do these kind of things. And you know how people can charm you with all the right words and all the right things, and then they are completely different. The world is so deceitful. The world is so deceitful in so many ways. You will live your life for up to a certain point where you think you can make it on your own, and then you'll finally come to a point where you say, I can't make it on my own. And then, hopefully, you're not gotten some disease, Hopefully, by then, you're not so much into debt that you're going to spend the next 20 years trying to get out of it. And hopefully, you've not made the wrong friends and upset the wrong kind of friends that you've gotten into things with them, that they are looking for you and they're going to kill you if you don't keep doing the things they're doing. I know friends of mine who've had to change their name, who've had to change their identity because they've gotten with the wrong kind of friends. And they tell me, I wish when I was in my teens, somebody could have grabbed me and pulled me out of that. Would you want me to come and grab you and pull you out of your friends? No, you wouldn't want it. I didn't want it. But now that's what they have to deal with. They're always scared when they start their car if something's going to happen. They didn't know their friends were all messed up like that. Look, I'm not trying to scare you. It's not my interest to scare you. I'm telling you real stories. I've spent a lot of time in these kind of areas. I know a very, very good friend of mine who was on drugs. Got onto drugs just innocently. Because, I'm going to hang out with my friends. Almost died because of it. I spent hours with him. Almost died. Took so many years to recover from it. I spent so much time with people, even church in America, who are trying to put their life together after being addicted to alcohol or drugs. And they're coming to India. This used to be in America. It's coming to India. You know, it's all available here. And you go to the clubs or you go to this stuff and it's all floating around. And before you know it, you're hit. If you don't know what addiction is, thank God for it. Because everybody who is an addict, they thought they would never get addicted to this stuff. And they ended up getting addicted to that stuff. And for women, I mean, look, the advertisements on TV and in the newspaper say you have to look like this, you have to have all these kind of cool things, and it oppresses you and it forces you to say you have to look like this, otherwise nobody will ever marry you, or the guys will never talk to you, and it becomes such a burden. And you have to really protect yourself and talk to each other so that you don't become so depressed and discouraged because you don't look like that girl on TV. And those girls on TV don't look that way all the time. They've got a lot of chemicals in their body that are forcing them to act that way. Be careful about how the world will tell you you have to dress like this or act like this. And men, stop making these women look a certain way. And stop expecting that girls should look like that. It's wrong. It's demeaning. You wouldn't want other men to treat your sisters like that. We've got to raise the stakes of what's going on here. Because our 20s, look, I wasn't as smart or wise as I could have been. And I can only see that it was by the mercy of God and just, you know, some good decisions that I made that I escaped out of a lot of bad things I could have done. And the world is getting more perverse. And we have to be more careful against it because the stakes are higher. Back when I was around, we didn't have the kind of access to things that you guys have now with the internet. Be careful who you chat with. Be careful how late in the night you chat with people. Look, I'm not saying this to you because you're in India. We do the same things with young people in America. They're dealing with the same thing. And they're getting into the same kinds of trouble. Be careful. And most of all, I'd say sit with God as often as you can. Not with the Bible all the time reading, but just talk to Him. And trying to find one person in church, one person, no more than that, one person in church that you can talk to who won't judge you. That's it. If you can't find somebody like that, go talk to at least an elder who you may trust. And ask him, can you help me find somebody who won't judge me? And if he points out, why don't you go talk to Rahul? And you'd be like, no, Rahul judges me too much. Tell him that. Can you give me somebody else? Because I got to answer to God. Look, that's who you have to answer. Find one person in their 20s or in their 30s. I'm only saying that because they're a little closer to your age or maybe in their early 20s. Who loves Jesus. Jesus is an amazing man. You probably will all admit to it. There are only a few people who are trying to be like Jesus. And one day you'll find out that it's probably a good deal to try and be like Jesus. Life gets a lot easier if you try to be like Jesus. And I know it's not easy for you to accept that right now, but try and find people who are in your 20s. Maybe your parents are not people you can look up to who love Jesus. I don't know. I don't know some of your parents. Maybe they are. Try to talk to them every now and then. If you don't feel like you can talk to them without them getting really upset, I understand that. I know how my parents, sometimes I couldn't talk to them because I knew they'd get they'd take it very personally and they'd get very, very worried about it. So I didn't tell my parents some other things, but I told those young people that. And they wouldn't tell my parents. And so you make that deal with these 20s or 30s, saying, listen, this can't get back to my parents. Because they get too worried, but can I talk to you about it? And talk to them about it. It's so important. You can try and live this life on your own, or you can try and live it, your life with other people. Find one other person you can talk to and talk to them. It's so important. It makes life good so much easier, and it protects you from so many bad mistakes you can. Here's the problem with a bad mistake. Once you've made it, you're stuck with it. The AIDS patient made one bad mistake, that's all. Let's not think that this was a whole series of mistakes they made. And these are not... I'm not talking about AIDS or just homosexuals. We're talking about people who are immoral, thinking they could just, you know, be intimate with a woman. They start, oh, of course, yeah, nothing will happen. Won't happen to me. Too late. Women too. Nobody thought it was going to get this bad. It was just one evening. That's it, one evening. I was there when the guy came back and they had to amputate his leg. Man, that was a tough night for him and for me. Having to sit with him, his leg is just amputated because the AIDS is eating into his body. And then I held a woman's hand as she died. Look, these are things that are real consequences of one bad mistake. So we thank God that He hasn't let it get that bad for us. But we have to be careful. Because God's mercy runs out after some time. It does. We have to just be so careful not to let it get that bad. Because now God says, you had a warning. I told you about it. I sent somebody from America to tell you about it. And God says, what more could I have done to tell you, be careful? You wanted 10 people to come from America? What more do you need before I find out maybe 2 years from now or 6 months from now that somebody's got shot? Somebody's sitting up because one bad decision. And you ask them, they'd have told you, no, I didn't mean to hang out with those people. I didn't know those people were that bad. These things happen to people like you and you and you. That's why the Bible says, watch what company you keep. Watch where you go on the internet. Watch what you do. Watch what you put into your body. Watch how you look at other people. Men, be careful how you look at other women. If you're like me, you struggle with it a lot. Be careful. Not only these sisters, but any girl. They are women. And think of them that they're your sister. If you had a sister, what would you think if some guy started undressing them in public? You think you'd be okay with it? It's not okay. And women, be careful of men. Men are extremely good at charming you. They use all the right words. They have all the cool styles. They have all these things that make them look so hip. But usually the ones who are really hip are hiding all kinds of things that are going on in their lives. Don't believe it easily. Trust your parents. Trust those who are older than you. The people who are looking so cool and so desirable in this world are often don't have the integrity to deal with the real stuff that's in their lives. And you go and get married to them, or you go and get into a relationship with them, and then it's too late. It's the same thing. You can hang out with somebody and get a bad disease, or you can hang out in a bad relationship and be emotionally devastated for life. So we got to be so careful. The Bible says walk carefully, walk circumspectly, which means carefully. And you guys have not walked in snow, but the snow is a good analogy. When you have snow, you have to walk so carefully. I remember when I first went to America, I was 17 years old, and you know, you can't walk on snow just like that. The movies may make you think you can walk on snow like that, but you really can't. You have to walk circumspectly because all of a sudden, it's like worse than walking on wet floor. You'll suddenly slip and you fall on your butt. All of a sudden, you're down and you look around and you hope nobody's seen it, but you see it all the time. Every winter, people walking around thinking they can just walk and bam, you're laid out. Sometimes you break bones walking on snow. That's it. Oh, I think I got it. I learned to walk when I was 2. Come on, walking on snow, piece of cake. You'll fall. Walk carefully. Don't think you're smarter than the world. The world is much smarter than you. Walk carefully. Listen to all the people who love Jesus. Listen to people who are been put in your life who love Jesus. It'll save you from a lot of trouble. The alternative is you listen to it after you get into trouble. You'll be listening to a recording of mine on the web maybe, and you'll be like, why didn't I listen? And then I'll be telling your story to somebody else in America maybe. I had this guy I knew and I told him about it. I had that sermon, I told him about it. They never listened. Look where he is now. Let that not be you. Let's pray. God, we don't want to serve you because we're so afraid of you. You are a father who asks us to come to your house and to sit and have dinner with you every day. But we do know, Lord, you ask us to do that because you also know that this world is so deceitful. It is so evil because that's who the devil is and that's who runs this world. And Lord, we, especially in this day and age, Lord, and at this time in these young people's lives, in their teens, they're starting to discover the world. And the devil is so crafty at making this world look so nice and pleasurable and not telling them of all the dangers that come afterwards. So, Father, I just pray that you'd have mercy on everybody sitting here, Lord, that you may quieten them down and quickly get them to the point that they are willing to listen. That they are ready to listen, that they're ready to say, I will let go of this and this and this. Because I want to listen to you because I don't want to sin against God. Father, I pray that you may work with everyone here, Lord. The time is short. We do not know whether tomorrow is promised to us. We do not know when you may call us home or when the next terrorist attack hits or where it'll hit or how it'll hit. We want to be ready. And we don't want to take the thought of going to hell or anything like that flippantly. Lord, we're sinning against you. We want to be ready and we want to be careful and circumspect. Give us grace, Lord. Lord, be with these young people, teens, Lord. As I said, I thank you that they want to love you. Please, Lord, we know you recognize them for that. We know that that makes you happy. Lord, help them to see your love to them. Lord, help us as older people to show them your love, not our love. Help us to be pure, Lord. Help us as older people to work on ourselves so that we can show them your love. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive us for the ways in which we've been hypocrites, for the ways in which we have come down hard on them. We deserve a blame for that as well, Lord. Help us to work together in these last days. Maybe it's the last day that we ever have, that we will love you and be willing to listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen.